city I've been browsing. Treading water that they drowning. My head on a swivel, yeah. It's only really my surroundings.
Hello and welcome to episode 213 of the Smash Accept podcast. I'm your host, Michael Royer. You can find me on Twitter at DynastyDadFF. Joining me, as always, is my partner in crime, you're the one, the only, FFA Mung. How you doing tonight, Mung?
Good. You guys are lucky because I went to the dentist earlier today. So if you'd caught me a couple hours earlier, I would have been talking like this. And then you're doubly lucky because I told my wife this was my 1 week away from football of the year. So I am making a special appearance, though, for this podcast because, come on, I can't say no to you.
Exactly. And you're triply lucky because we have a great guest tonight. You know, we've been covering the new top 12 at every position, and there's nobody better to talk to tight ends than our guest tonight, the one, the only, David Gutierrez. How you doing tonight?
Oh, excellent, man. I'm glad you said your name, too. So I was going to plan on calling you Dad the whole night.
That's what everybody calls me, and then it gets a little awkward. But, you know, they'll be like, no one knows. I say it first sentence every time, and no one knows my real name. They just call me Dad. But, yeah. Hey, I'm glad we could get you on here, especially for tight ends. You know, you and I have been talking and conversing on Twitter for, you know, a couple of years now, and a lot of interaction about the tight ends. I want you to talk a little bit about, before we get started, the website that you've created and a little bit of your thought process at the tight end position, because a lot of people over the last couple of years, they really either go all in on tight ends, they wait. So tell me a little bit about your website, a little bit about your philosophy on tight ends, and let's just jump into these guys.
Yeah, first though, while we're talking names, you pronounce it like Mung, you said? That's how you pronounce it? It's not Mang?
Correct. Yeah, okay, the spelling is very misleading.
Yeah, all right. I just wanted to clarify that before we start. And I know what you're talking about with those 1 week breaks. They usually last about 2 days, right? But yeah, you can find all my stuff obviously on Twitter. I think if you guys are watching this, you probably follow me there. If not, you can check out the website, gurufantasyworld.com. I have all of my history of making the case threads, which is kind of what I got known for on Twitter. So any making the case thread I've ever written for a player is on that website, the hits and the misses as well. Then I also have an encyclopedia, which has some strategies that I've written. I have a dictionary in there. If you see an acronym you don't know and you want to look it up, you can check there. It might be in there. Then obviously there's the Guru Fantasy World Patreon, where we have access to my top 250 rankings. You're going to get access to my newsletter. So I do a monthly newsletter in the off season, which is going to just highlight risers, fallers, recommended dynasty trades. And then that'll be a weekly newsletter in season. Same thing, risers, fallers, a recommended waiver priority, recommended dynasty trades. And then I also do a specific tight end recap and newsletter each week as well. It's going to be the same thing. I'm going to go over the whole tight end position, how players are performing, and then I'm going to give a list of recommended dynasty trades specifically for the tight end position each week. You also get access to my tight end anatomical checklist on the Patreon, which is basically what I refer to for all my tight end rankings and analysis. And that's just something I created probably like my second or third year as an analyst, because I started as someone who was just like vocally for drafting elite tight ends. Like I loved drafting Jimmy Graham and Travis Kelce, you know, and like I just had success doing it and I became vocal for it. And then people started like expecting me to be the tight end guy. And they were asking me all the tight end questions. I'm like, I'm not really an expert at this position. I'm just vocal about drafting the elite ones. Yeah. But they still started to lean on me. And, you know, I always started to become the guy that, you know, people look to for that. So I started to develop like an actual process because I didn't have one. I was just passionate about it. So my process essentially was just charting all of the data. And a lot of it starts with like basic stuff. We're talking height, weight. I just want to know what players look like anatomically themselves, you know, or are they taller than normal? Are they heavier than normal? Are they lighter than normal? And then we want to look at draft capital. Obviously, everything's rooted in draft capital, even at the tight end position. We want to look at early declare status as well. Are they going to the NFL after 3 years in college? Obviously, athleticism is huge. I like to track the 40 vertical in production as well. College production, a lot of people like to dismiss it, but we'll talk about that more throughout the show. But it's very important. So I like to track dominator rating. I like to track their career yards per route run. I also like to track efficiency, career yards per reception. And then I just want to track their PFF receiving grade as well to see, you know, lean on those film guys because I'm not a film-based person. So I want to just see what the film grade is from, you know, people who are doing this professionally and, you know, consistently.
I love that because it's like you were talking about, you know, you didn't set out to be the tight end guy, but then everybody started leaning in on you. And Mung and I and John, who's not on, and Snoog, all were just started out talking about dynasty trades all the time, you know, giving advice on it, and then just gradually built into a podcast about dynasty trades. And we love having guests on like you who are, you know, quote unquote gurus of their area. And I love what you were talking about the prospects. And this year we have a prospect better than arguably any tight end prospect that we've ever seen. You know, I mean, we got to talk about Brock Bowers right off the bat. I put out my rankings today, and I know they're very similar to yours, and Mung's working through his rookie process as well. Brock Bowers is someone that, I mean, when you watch the tape, is absolutely phenomenal. 56 receptions, 714 yards, 6 touchdowns. Seems like he has the ability at the tight end position to take it to the house at any point. Broken tackles. The question that a lot of people, you know, ESPN puts him at 6'4", 240. A lot of other people are thinking more like 6'3", 230. How good is Brock Bowers? You know, like there are people right now, some have him, you know, in Superflex right now, I have him between the 105 and 106 just because of the elite quarterbacks there, the Malik Nabers, the Marvin Harrison. But he's literally in that conversation, which we haven't had in years. You know, we have not had that. We had it with Kyle Pitts, but this is a different type of animal right here.
Yeah, so before we get exactly into Brock Bowers, like I want to talk a little bit more about the what I'm going to be referencing in these metrics in my tight end anatomical checklist and why they matter. So for one, we already talked about it at first, like the college production. And a lot of people will like dismiss college production and they'll say it doesn't matter for tight ends. Like these guys come out of nowhere. And I just don't find that to be true at all. So we look at the top 12, even the top 13, and there's a pretty consensus top 13 in dynasty right now. And we look at their college production. Dominator rating is number one. Dominator rating is just the percentage of receiving yards and the percentage of touchdowns combined divided by two. So if a player has 30% of the yards, 20% of the touchdowns, that's 25% dominator rating. And we look at the top 13, right? I'm going to go through them. This is Sam Laporta, Trey McBride, Mark Andrews, Kyle Pitts, Dalton Kincaid, TJ Hawkinson, George Kittle, David Njoku, Evan Ingram, Travis Kelce, Cole Kmet, Jake Ferguson, Michael Mayer. You can twist those around a little bit however you want to your preference, but that's pretty much what the consensus is. Look at their college production, all right? Sam Laporta, 25% dominator. Trey McBride, 46% dominator. Mark Andrews, 18%. Kyle Pitts, 24%. Dalton Kincaid, 34%. TJ Hawkinson, 24%. George Kittle, 23%. David Njoku, 24%. Evan Ingram, 29%. Travis Kelce, 27%. Cole Kmet, 20%. Jake Ferguson, 28%. Michael Mayer, 35%. Every single one of these guys was above 18%. Every single one was above 20%, except Andrews, who was at 18%. He played with CeeDee Lamb and Marquise Brown. So he was like 2% under 20%. Every single one of them. So when we have guys go above a 20% dominator rating, that's good. When it's below, I don't want to say it's not good. You know, it's not, you can't just be reductionist to that point. But I like to see 18% or above, like, because everybody else is 18% or above. So that's dominator rating number one. Same thing, career yards per route run. This is for college. Sam Laporta, 1.89. Trey McBride, 2.11. Mark Andrews, 2.46. Kyle Pitts, 2.36. Dalton Kincaid, 2.32. TJ Hawkinson, 1.99. George Kittle, 1.91. David Njoku, 2.03. Evan Ingram, 1.99. Kmet and Ferguson were a bit lower, 1.46, 1.57. But excluding Kmet and Ferguson, Meyer was at 1.95, by the way. That's a good number. But excluding Kmet, Ferguson, Meyer, all the guys above, we don't have a single one of them below 1.89. That Laporta was the lowest at 1.89 yards per route run. So we want to see these guys produce in college. We want to see them dominate their teams receiving and touchdown shares. We want to see them produce yardage on their route. That's just the fact of the matter. Same thing with the PFF grade. People like to just crap all over PFF. We look at the PFF grading for these guys. Sam Laporta, his highest PFF grade was 85.3. Trey McBride, 95. Mark Andrews, 81. Kyle Pitts, 96.1. Dalton Kincaid, 91.8. TJ Hockenson, 90.8. George Kittle, 91.2. David Njoku, 76.3. Evan Ingram, 80.5. Kelsey was around before they were doing this PFF stuff. Komet, 73.4. That's lower. Ferguson, 86.3. Michael Mayer, 91.6. So the only guys we have below 80 were Njoku at 76 and Komet at 73.4. All these other guys above 80. So all of this stuff matters, all right? And then we take a look at, let's bring it forward, back, or bring it back, I should say, to Brock Bowers. Because you said earlier, arguably the greatest tight end prospect of all time. He checks every single box in either green or like super green, because I have two greens in each of these, you know, because all my list is color coded as well. He's going to be a top 15 pick, it seems like, at worst, probably top 10, possibly top five. He's an early declare. His 40 time is going to be probably sub 4.6. It's probably going to be possibly be sub 4.5 vertical, probably 35 plus inches. He had a 25% dominator rating, box check. He averaged 14.5 yards per reception for his career. That's green. Career yards per route run, 2.64. And he had a 91.6 PFF receiving grade in his best season. So, and I can go on, like stuff beyond the checklist.
I love how passionate you are with going through those things. And it's great to know that, you know, hitting the dominator rating and making sure you have the PFF grade and making sure you have that production all lines up, because I think tight end is one of those positions where it is a little bit easier to line it all up. You know, the quarterback position doesn't always line up the same way. It's a lot more trying to, you know, try to figure out what works for the system and this and that. Brock Bowers, right off the bat, you're saying is a top three, and I have it as a top three dynasty tight end. We talk a lot on our podcast about insulated trades. So, you know, last year, for example, I was making some trades, and I got to give you kudos. You were always hyping up Sam Laporta. I was a Kincaid guy. I saw you always talking Laporta. You know, and there was a trade where, and when we talk insulated trades, that's where we pick a future breakout, we make a trade, and we insulate it with a pick, where I traded George Kittle for, you know, Sam Laporta on the clock plus a 25 first or 24 first. And now you see that, obviously, a guy like Laporta, he's the tight end one in Dynasty. And is this an area now where I got a lot of people coming to me, David, where they're saying, you know what, Sam Laporta was so good. Can Brock Bowers match that? You know, we talk about how elite level of a prospect he is, but then other people are saying, well, so was Kyle Pitts. You know, so is this an area where we're investing now? If you can get Brock Bowers plus a second for Sam Laporta, are you doing that at this point? Are you believing that much in this prospect?
Yeah, well, just to talk a little bit more about Bowers, there are only two tight ends who averaged 3+ yards per route run in a college season and got drafted round one: Kyle Pitts and Brock Bowers. And Brock Bowers had the highest career yards per route run out of those two as well. So he's literally the greatest tight end prospect of all time, like even better than Kyle Pitts on paper. It's Brock Bowers. So I don't think you're going to be able to get real insulation doing this post NFL draft when it's trading Laporta for Bowers plus. Like, I don't know what that plus is going to be. If you're going to do that, you need to do that now while that's right now. just a 105 or a 106, or, you know, because that perceived gap between a Laporta or McBride and a 105, 106, that, especially the 106, that is a lot wider than the perceived gap between Laporta, McBride, and Brock Bowers. So you just have to capitalize on the uncertainty and the inability of people to project cleanly things and, you know, pay that tax, so to speak, because as soon as it turns from the 106 into Brock Bowers, that insulation is gone.
Yeah. And this is the primary reason why I've been telling everybody, if you can get anything in that 104 to 106 range, you're just moving up into that area before it becomes a player, even 107 for Adunze. And Bowers is going to fall to 106 a lot, and you're going to get yourself an absolute stud in that position. And the argument that I had that a lot of people were posting on Twitter was, Dad, how can you have him up there already above those guys? You know, when Kincaid was going late first and he went to Buffalo, and there, you know, Laporta was going mid second, and it's like you're putting him up there already, but you've already nailed it. I mean, he's that good of a prospect. Mung, you know, we talk about a lot where we were trying to insulate into getting Kyle Pitts. Tell me a little bit about your thought process on the whole thing, because you and I have, you know, I know you haven't dug quite as deep into the rookie content, but the tight end position is a great position to try to get yourself some insulation.
Yeah, well, the great thing about Bowers is even if he doesn't hit right away, right? Laporta's rookie career, rookie season really surprised everyone, even those who really mm-hmm. believed in him. And the good thing about Bowers is even if he has a much slower start, he has that name value where his dynasty value isn't going to tank, mm-hmm. right? So you can afford to be patient with him, even if he has a slow start to his NFL career. David, I was curious, what kind of value gap would you assign between Bowers and Kincaid? Because we saw some real nice flashes from Kincaid, and he checked a lot of those boxes you were talking about, right? Dominator rating, breakout age, a lot of the college accolades. Obviously showed some flashes with the Bills, trailed off a little bit over the second half of the year when they really went away from being that pass-heavy team to a more run-heavy approach. So for you, would where Bowers ends up change where you rank him versus Kincaid? How close do you have them in talent overall?
Yeah, that's a good question. I don't think Kincaid's part of that conversation for me. If I was going to compare, it would be to Laporta and McBride. I think Kincaid had a little bit more flaws as a prospect, just because he was a fifth-year player. He was late, right? He played at a small school his first 2 years, some good, but it was really small schools like San Diego State. I forget exactly which school it was, but it was a super small school. And his rookie season numbers just aren't quite on that elite tier. Like we talk about all that stuff that I was tracking as prospects. I'm also tracking NFL production, and that's points per game, yards per route run, PFF receiving grade. And we talk about like Laporta, where he's at 1.76 yards per route run as a rookie, 81 PFF receiving grade. Kincaid's at 1.46 yard per route run, 68.7 receiving grade. So an 81 versus 68 receiving grade, 1.76 versus 1.46 yards per route run. And then you talk about, all right, we can nitpick Kincaid's like late breakout. He's already an older player coming into the NFL. I just don't think it's the same conversation. If he wasn't attached to Josh Allen, we'd still like him, but I don't think we'd even be mentioning him in the same breath as Brock Bowers.
Is there a scenario where, you know, I haven't looked at your rookie rankings quite yet. Do you have Bowers in that 4 to 6 range and then it's all kind of fluid at that point? Or how do you have your top six? Is there a scenario in a landing spot where he goes? I mean, is it the Chargers? Is it the Bengals? Is there a spot where he automatically becomes the front runner in that? You know, a lot of people have it as Caleb 1, Marvin 2, depending on what you like it, Daniels or May 3, 4, Neighbors 5, you know, and him 6, or any of that scenario. Is there a landing spot where he goes where you instantly say, all right, he's in that conversation of 3, 4?
Well, in order to really boost a player on landing spot, right, like it's got to be two things. They need to have a good quarterback, and they need to have a lack of target competition.
Nice.
And yeah. I'm not sure how many of those spots there are. I'm looking up the NFL draft order right now, but I know basically to me it comes down to the Chargers, right? That's the one where you mm-hmm. really be like, oh my God, Brock Bowers is going to go way up. Other than that, it's going to come down to profile strength more than anything, unless like obviously Neighbors ends up in the Chargers, like he's going to get boosted super high too. Even though Dunze would get a boost, I don't have him in the same prospect tier though as the others. But for me, I'm a sicko for Brock Bowers. Like I have him in the same tier and probably ahead of Malik Neighbors just because of the premium of the position, like tight end scarcity. I would rather lock down the greatest tight end prospect of all time than, no slight to Malik Neighbors, because I've never said a bad word about Malik Neighbors, and I don't think, and I don't really have anything bad to say about him, but I think you can argue Brock. You could argue him above every quarterback other than Caleb. You could argue him as the 103.
Like I put that in a two tight end league. I think he's in that conversation.
He just is not going to hold the same trade value. Look at the startup ADP. Correct. And that's the only thing where you can't really rank him, you know, super as high as those other guys, because he's just not going to carry the same weight in trades, at least not right now. So, but I'm super high on Brock Bowers. I'll have more than average based on where I'll have him ranked versus everybody else.
So one thing I like to do is we play a little game of like smash or pass. So I'm going to say a player and a value. Okay. If you're keeping Bowers, you say pass. If you're taking the trade, you say smash. Fair enough.
Yep.
So let's go Trey McBride straight up.
I knew where this was going to come to. This was like an
Trey McBride is him for me.
I already have a pre-canned response, all right? Because I put in some thought to this show. I wanted to be a good guest. And to me, Trey McBride or Brock Bowers, it's the answer. It's not the question. It's like that joke, right, when they're listing like a job application or whatever, and it says sex, and you write yes. Like, that's the answer, not the question. Like, Trey McBride or Brock Bowers, yes, give me all right. I want.
I'm with you because I have Laporta, McBride, and Bowers in a tier of their own. But let's do TJ Hockenson in a mid second.
Bowers,
smash. Let's go Bowers. Kincaid in a late first.
Define late, but it's probably...
What's it? 110 to 112.
Bowers.
Kyle Pitts in the same thing. 110 to 112.
Pitts.
Was that a little bit closer?
And I don't think you even need to pay that, though, to get Pitts, because, man, like, his market value is in the tank. But I think I'm fine moving Bowers or Pitts in the 112. I don't know if I want to pay Pitts in the 112 for Bowers.
Okay, now I'm going to get a little bit trickier here with you. David Njoku and the 107.
Bowers could be the 107.
I know, but just in theory, we're going in that route. That's tough. There are some leagues where he's honestly going to fall to 107, and that person's just going to be incredibly lucky.
I'm trying to make sense of this logistically. Like, if you're on the clock, that means Bowers has already been taken.
So you're the next pick. You add Njoku or Kmet to move up one spot.
I don't know. I pass on this question.
All right. Sounds good. So let's start. And Mung, I want you to chime in as well. But I mean, we talk about that. I put as the elite young wide receivers guys or tight ends that you build around. Laporta, McBride, and Bowers are all going in that third to fourth round startup value. I saw you tweeted about it, and I have been saying it everywhere. Is in startups right now, David, I am trying to go first four rounds. I want two elite quarterbacks. I want one wide receiver, and I want one of these tight ends. If I come away with one of them, I feel great. Like, these are the guys that you build around. And people, for the longest time at the tight end position, were like, well, I'll just take Kittle late, or I'll take Ingram late, or Kelsey late, which that's fine. But when you have guys like Laporta, McBride, and Bowers, the profiles that they have, they could legitimately be. I mean, Trey McBride, to me, looks like the next Travis Kelsey. You're saying Brock Bowers is in that same area. Like, if you were able to go back in time and draft Travis Kelsey earlier or trade for him earlier before it was impossible, think about all the championships you would have won. So, I mean, I know that is that area where it's like you get into a situation where you got to pick between, you know, a wide receiver like Chris Olave or one of these guys. I'm smashing these three tight ends all day long.
Yeah, I think McBride especially, once Arizona drafts a wide receiver, he's going to dip even more. People are going to freak out, even though we talked about TJ Hockenson play with Justin Jefferson. Sam Laporta plays with Amon-Ra St. Brown. Travis Kelce played with Tyreek Hill. Dalton Kincaid played Stephon Diggs. Like, George Kittle plays with these other two wideouts. Mm-hmm. We talk about all of these tight ends who've succeeded with a wideout. So as soon as Arizona, which it looks like there's a good chance they're
inevitably
draft,
it's going to
a wide receiver. It's very likely. We're going to be getting even more of a dip on McBride, but yeah, absolutely. These are the guys you want.
I know we're centering this conversation around the younger prospects, but I am curious because I am still very much a Mark Andrews truther. And where would you have Bowers in comparison to Andrews? Because prior to his injury, Andrews was super hot, and that was still year one of Todd Monken's offense. I still have him as my number two tight end in Dynasty. So before I'm curious where you have Bowers in relation to Andrews in terms of value.
And before you jump in on that one, David, I mean, Mark Andrews is arguably the cheapest out of all of these guys. I have done multiple startups in the offseason, and the guys we just talked about, the elite guys, they're going round three, maybe into round four, depending on what the premium is. I've been buying Mark Andrews in the late fifth to early sixth round. And for a guy that people start to get ageist a little bit, you know, say he's 28, turning 29. But Mark Andrews, Mung has always been an Andrews guy, and I think he's just become such a value this offseason.
Yeah, I mean, I think I have no problem reaching for like one of those young guys, but we talk about like the running back position has been devalued so much. The running back, like if you look at the running back 5 versus the running back 6 versus the running back 7, 8, 10, 15, 12, they've been devalued by 2 full rounds pretty much over just the past 2 years, from 2022 to 2024. So you're getting guys in like the 8th through 12th round where we're talking about David Montgomery, Aaron Jones, Derrick Henry, like in the 11th round for like James Conner. Like you're getting guys who produce 14, 15 points per game, proven guys late. So that's helpful. And then we look at the wide receiver position is so deep. You're getting guys like DK Metcalf, T. Higgins in like the mid 5th, late 5th. So there's plenty of depth at those positions. Andrews specifically, I agree completely. If I'm missing out on those top guys, I want to get him because I know I can get running back later. I know I've probably already drafted like one or two receivers if I missed out on the early tight end. So I want to plug in Andrews. I don't think you can – it's hard for me to justify keeping him at tight end to above Trey McBride just because we talk about, number one, the age gap where we're talking about like 28 versus 24. And Trey McBride is not just a flash in the pan to me. We talk about the profile strength. He had a 46% dominator rating, drafted in the second round, 4, 5, 6, 4. There was not a single other player, I don't think ever, who put a 46% dominator rating and was drafted in the second round. And then he's a great athlete as well. He averaged over 2 yards per out run this year, 80.5 PFF receiving grade. Two thumbs up, Trey McBride. To me, especially we talk about the pessimistic case, right? What happens if both of these guys get injured next year? And I don't want to play the injury prone game because I'm buying Mark Andrews. Like I said, I'm right there with you in the 5th, 6th round. But what if he gets hurt next year? All right. Now he's going to be a 29-year-old dude coming off how many injuries? You see, like he's going to slide far. Whereas Trey McBride could suffer an ACL tear today. And I'm still drafting him in the 6th round of a startup. Like, and then he's got a lot of chance at his age to rebound and to go back up, you know? So I love Andrews, but we have to be realistic about the way that the market's going to treat aging players, especially aging players with injury histories, especially if they get injured again. So I love Mark Andrews, but I do not want to overvalue him either.
So what would it take you, let's say you have McBride and somebody's offering you Andrews plus, what would it take you to move off of McBride or Bowers?
A late first.
I think 202. Yeah, I think it's at between 210 and 202.
That's all right.
I
don't want to make all right trades on, February 20th?
And when you're,
we got so much time.
Elite level players. I love it. Now, McBride, you know, didn't pop off his rookie season. It took a little bit into this was year 3 for him. Great prospect kind of moving forward. How do you look at, I mean, in the past, we always looked at the tight end position that it took a couple of years to transition in. Then we have guys like Laporta popping off right away and Hockenson playing well. So is that, you know, I want to look at guys like Kyle Pitts, guys like David Njoku. I mean, David Njoku popped off this year. You know, it is Kyle Pitts truthers out there, is this the year? You know, they got rid of Arthur Smith. It's free Kyle Pitts, free Drake London. Give them the opportunity. If they get a quarterback, you know, how high up? Kyle Pitts, again, is still just 23 years old. He is the same age as Laporta. He's younger than McBride. If he has another 1,000-yard season like he did his rookie season, I mean, how high up? For me, I think he's the most volatile asset at the tight end position. Like, he could very well in the perception join into that top tier by the end of the season if he pops off, or he could be one of those guys that just falls by the wayside and just dips down a little bit further. So sell me on Kyle Pitts. You know, like, I do not own any Kyle Pitts shares, because my thought process in that was, you know, if you didn't draft him, you're not trading for him because you couldn't get him as a rookie. You know, now he's starting to become achievable, but people that drafted him, they're still holding on because they see that hope.
Yeah, you're, I think the last point you made is the most important one. Like, the window of like soup, like, I'm going to buy Kyle Pitts like at a discount was in season when Arthur Smith was the coach, because now that he's been fired, there's a lot more enthusiasm from the people who already have him on the roster. So it, to me, it's more of like a startup value conversation, because I don't know if you're just going to go and discount buy Kyle Pitts right now. Like, yeah. Even me, and I'm like a Kyle Pitts truther. Like, I was willing to sell him for George Kittle straight up, like, in season. I'm not doing that right now. Like, I'm just not. So his value has gone up. And I mean, if you evaluate the tight end position, it's hard not to be in love with this guy. It really is. We talk about the checklist is so green. It's all green. There's not even yellow in it, like, until we get into the second year where he tore his MCL and was playing with Arthur Smith and a Mariota Ritter. So anything bad about Kyle Pitts, you can immediately just say it was the situation. And that's not necessarily fair, but when we look at the totality of data, the only time Kyle Pitts hasn't been excellent is when he's been in the league worst situation. And that's just the reality of the facts. And we talked about the age. So this dude, he's younger than Dalton Kincaid. He's already put up three NFL seasons with a better, even this past year, better PFF receiving grade than Dalton Kincaid. He's younger than him. He's put up three seasons by the time Kincaid even got to the NFL and played as a rookie better, like, as a better player. So, I mean, the sky is the limit. But like you said, there's not just questions about, all right, do they get a quarterback? Which, in Daniel Jeremiah's latest mock draft, which obviously there's a million mock drafters, he's not the only one, but that's the latest one I read. And he had them taking J.J. McCarthy. So there's definitely, they're in position, especially when we talk about this quarterback class, beyond Caleb, there's Jaden, there's May, there's McCarthy. There's a decent chance they end up with a new guy under center going into next year. So we'll see. I mean, I'm still in on Kyle Pitts. If he's on my roster, I don't really want to trade up. Like, if I can get LaPorta, McBride, or Bowers at it without paying a premium plus, yeah, sure. But who's going to really allow me to do that? So your option is pretty much just to hold. He's 23 years old, and he's currently the highest drafted tight end of all time. Mm-hmm. He put up 1,000 plus yards as a rookie, 2 plus yards for a run, 82.3 receiving grade. Like, I don't know what else more you could ask for this guy other than not get hurt and fall into a shitty situation year two and three. I mean, you gotta give the guy a little bit of a break. But, you know, the injury, it is possible that he doesn't ever fully recover from it. So I do think you can't just be extremist on one side or the other, because if he has another bad year next year, you know, people are going to – that'll be three consecutive years in a row. And all of a sudden, you know, like we talk about Njoku and Ingram, like, these guys bounced back, but their value, you know, fell off a cliff before it happened. And, you know, Pitts is obviously a little bit younger and has more insulation from the initial strength of his profile. But we don't know that a rookie quarterback, maybe J.J. McCarthy, is all of a sudden, you know, just going to fix everything in Atlanta. So,
yeah. And there's rumors of Wilson and Fields, and they're going to get a quarterback upgrade, because unless Mung or I take over a quarterback, it's better than Desmond Ridder did last year.
Yeah.
You know, so I want to move from those young elite guys to some of the ones that, you know, are a little bit later in your startups, rounds 8 through 10. We talked about guys that are young. Now I'm going to talk about three guys, and we're going to play a little keep trade cut with both of you guys. For three guys that are in their age of 27 to 30. So I'm going to go with, I want you to keep one, trade one, cut one. Mung, I'm going to go with you first. George Kittle, David Njoku, and Evan Ingram. I want to keep one, trade one, cut one. Go.
Oh, this was tough.
I know you hate Ingram, but I love him. So that's where I was like, I want to get you first.
I would keep Kittle, trade Njoku, and cut Ingram.
All right, David, same question for you, and then I want to have a friendly debate here about this.
Well, I think I have him ranked already. You said I'm killing Njoku, Ingram. But the thing is, who's – I don't know if anybody's trading for any of these guys. So I guess, yeah, I would say probably the same thing. Like, keep Kittle, trade Njoku. I got to cut Evan Ingram off 114 receptions. I hate this question.
So all three of these guys, this is where we get to an area in the startup. It's usually between the 201 and 203 range. And all three of these guys are a value, you know, because everybody has rookie fever. And I think the 201 to 203 is going to be very valuable this year because of how many wide receivers are going to go round one, how many quarterbacks, you know, and the running backs haven't even gotten landing spots. So they're going to start kicking up there. So it's a real question of like, if you have the 202 right now, you could buy any of these three guys. It's not going to cost you a first anymore. Like an early second can get you Kittle and Njoku and Ingram. Kittle was what, tight end 6. Ingram was tight end 5. And Njoku with Joe Flacco was literally, you know, the second coming of what we wanted, you know, Kyle Pitts to be all year. Like he was phenomenal down the stretch. So, I mean, like all three of these guys, I think, are great value in that early second range. I would not pay any first for him. You know, like I would consider if I knew it was an absolute late 25 first, but that's not something deal you have to make right now. Yeah. So I love those answers. Both of you, I want to get your opinions on Travis Kelce right now. Like we were sweating it out, doing startups like true degenerates during the Super Bowl, you know, and like, is he going to retire? You know, is he going to ride off into the sunset, you know, with Taylor Swift, all that kind of stuff. But Travis Kelce was tight end 3 on the year. Now, obviously, you know, he's 34 years old. I was talking with Zoltan before we got on the podcast, and he has him, you know, he has him outside his top 12. I want to get both of your opinions right now on what's the most that you'd pay for Travis Kelce. And is this a new window here, David, where you can try to sell Kelce? You know, like you're like, okay, he's back. He's still a top 5 tight end. Do we sell Travis Kelce and try to work ourselves up for a Kelce plus a first to get up to one of these elite type tight ends? So how do you talk about it if you're a contender, if you're a rebuilder, if you're in the middle? Talk to me about what you do with Travis Kelce because everybody's asking me.
Yeah, and this is something I should have plugged earlier, like at the beginning of the show. I think we're like 35 minutes in or something at this point now. But we're talking players versus picks. And I think if we're going to talk about that, we have to first talk about the value cycle of the pick-player value cycle. And EK Baller, Eric Quartz, I think is his last name, if I'm pronouncing that correctly. He'll have a chart pinned on his Twitter, at EK Baller. And if you're listening to this, I want you to go look at that chart. And that's you guys included. So while I'm talking, I want you to look at it. Because you're going to see that there's a clear chart. And this is defined. Like you will find that the chart reflects the experiences. All right. And so pick and player values have a life cycle. Every year, they're going to be valued at a peak at a certain point, and they're going to be valued at a valley at a certain point. So players are going to be valued at a peak in season, especially towards the league trade deadline and towards the playoffs. That's when you have peak player value, and you can sell a guy like Travis Kelce, and you know, and you can buy rookie picks at a discount. As soon as the season ends and we get into January and February, we're going to see a shift away from these veteran players and towards rookie picks. And there are going to be two times where rookie picks are going to be at peak pick value. The first time is going to be the NFL Combine, which we have coming up in, what is it, 8 days? It's about a week away. So whatever we're talking about in terms of rookie pick value today, even of what we feel, us three, who are like tuned into the market, we're going to be higher on these rookie picks in 10 days from now, 11 days from now after the NFL Combine, when peak pick value hits, because it's just going to be more information about these rookies and we're just going to be affected, even if on a subconscious level. And then the second time, peak pick value is going to be on the clock in rookie drafts, like when people really want to trade, get that pick, they have the certainty of who they're going to get with that pick when they trade into it, and they're going to want to pay up for it.
Before you go into Kelce, I mean, that's Mung and I teach this all the time, is we are a trade podcast. We talk about the cyclical nature of Dynasty, where it is a stock profile, you know, and you are buying at the right time. And now is the right time to buy veterans because everybody has that rookie fever. So I'm glad to hear someone, you know, that really is diving into things as much as you are on that same path. I mean, that's where so many people right now they want to overpay for rookie picks. You know what I mean? Like, I saw someone trade Travis Kelce for the 208, and I'm just like, why? You know, like, that's the opposite spectrum here. But on the flip side, you know, if you're a rebuilding team and, you know, week two, Travis Kelce, like you said about who were we talking about earlier, about Mark Andrews, you know, like, there's a time where we need to tear up, where we need to move off. So, I mean, you know, everything's about timing. So my overall question is, how are you going about it? Obviously, the ideal situation is to trade Travis Kelce in season, right? Because that's when the value, or at least by the time we roll around till early September, you know, right once the NFL is about to kick off. But how do you go about making those type of moves? You know, like, how do you go about trying to, you know, work into a different trade partner to trade Travis Kelce?
I don't think trading Travis Kelce is really an option right now, to be honest. If you wanted to trade Travis Kelce, I think you missed your window. I think your window was the end of the season, the playoffs, mm-hmm. and that's gone. So your option really now is to hold. You can try, like you said, you can try and trade up for Kelce plus a late first for Bowers, one of these Pitts, like, maybe. But other than Pitts, who, you know, someone might be sick of, like, what are you going to – I mean, how else do you trade him and sell him at Travis Kelce value? Right. So I think your option is to really hold or to be one of those guys trying to buy him for the 208 and be on the other side of that trade.
Yeah, no, I'm with you if you're buying that cheap. We did this before with the keep trade cut with some of the older guys. I got three guys that are really similar in value. I know I looked at, we're all pretty close of how we're ranking them, and I want to play around here real quick and see how you guys are. David, I'm going to have you go first and then Monk second on this one, because I think all three of these guys have that upside to be that next tier of guys who could enter the top 12. You know, we talk about our top 12. We have these guys right in that fringe area, but it's Jake Ferguson, Michael Mayer, and Cole Kmet. So if you had to keep one, trade one, cut one out of those three, David, who are you going with?
Well, I'm trading one of Kmet or Ferguson. I just think those guys are priced more towards their peak, where mm-hmm. Mayer, I mean, I'm not cutting Mayer, and I'm not trading him. So I'm going to keep Mayer. If I had to choose, I would keep Mayer, trade whichever one gets me more out of Ferguson and Kmet, and cut the other one, because I believe in Michael Mayer's upside.
Know your league mates, because I put out my top 12, and I have Kmet at 12, just because I think if Caleb Williams comes in there, I mean, we saw back-to-back tight end 8 seasons for his age. His ceiling is a little bit capped, but I think people seem to love Jake Ferguson. They were ripping me apart. Very TD dependent, but had a
it's
great
crazy.
Season.
Yeah. You almost wonder if that's Cowboys Twitter, because I get the same thing. And anytime I post anything negative about Jake Ferguson, people are like, Jake Ferguson is the best player ever to play.
Yeah, no, I've taken a lot of heat for that. Mung, same question for you. Ferguson, Mayer, and Kmet.
Yeah, I would keep Mayer. I would trade Ferguson because he does get more love than Kmet, even though I think they're both just fine contributors, right? I don't think either one of them is ever going to be considered an elite top five sort of guy. And we haven't seen it from Mayer, but based on his prospect profile, and, you know, we'll give him a mulligan for, one, not having a quarterback, and two, getting hurt. So hopefully, I think he's the one out of those three that still has at least that elite ceiling, even if we don't see it.
And I want to make sure we have time to talk about the rookie tight ends here, but I want to talk a couple quick hitter items where I want to say buy or sell on these guys, David. You know, the question I get a lot in our Patreon is, and, you know, everybody wants to know about the Green Bay situation for wide receivers. They're talking Reed versus Watson versus Wicks. Then there's the tight end position. I mean, Musgrave and Kraft. If you had to pick just one, who are you taking?
Yeah, so we look at prospect profile, right? There's certain edges to Musgrave, there's certain edges to Kraft. I like players I talked about. I think production matters in college. And Luke Musgrave, even if you want to say he got hurt in his senior season, he played 3 seasons before his senior year. He never once put up more than a 7.5% dominator rating in college. And that is troublesome. That's like red. I have green, I have red. Like, that's the super red. It's below 10%. So he was never productive in college at any point in 4 years other than 2 games before he got hurt to start his senior year. But that being said, he's a better athlete than Tucker Kraft. 4'6", 140, 36-inch vertical versus 4'6", 9, 34-inch. he was drafted higher. He had 11th pick in the second round versus 15th pick in the third round. Tucker Kraft, I just feel more comfortable about the fact that he has zero red flags in his profile, because we talk about, all right, third round, but the 15th pick, that's yellow. It's not red, but he's a good athlete. 4'6", 940, 34 inch vertical. He was productive in college, 21% dominator rating. He averaged 2.33 yards per reception in college. Luke Musgrave, 1.38. That's not good. That's almost double. And obviously, he was at a small school, Kraft. Then PFF receiving grade as a prospect, 89.1 for Kraft, 79.2 for Musgrave. So, like, I have quite a few red in Musgrave's profile. I'm like, all right, why was he never productive in college? All right, why was his yards per route run so low? All right, and then we'd look at their rookie season. Points per game, Musgrave, 6.8 to 5.6. So he got slightly better than Kraft there. 1.28 yard per route run to 1.2. So he was slightly better there. But then PFF receiving grade, 64 for Musgrave, 67 for Kraft. So Kraft graded slightly better. The unfortunate reality is that these guys are both on rookie contracts for the next 3 years in Green Bay. It's probably just going to be a situation where we're like, man, I wish these guys had their own depth chart to themselves. Yeah. And we're just saying Tucker or Kraft. We're saying Kraft or Musgrave for the next 3 years, like just cancel each other out. And we're like,
that's what I've been telling everybody for the Green Bay situation. It's all good for Jordan Love, but I'm not trying to pick one of these guys out. They're too close there. Monk, two guys that probably played at their floor this year. I mean, and they're probably the lowest value that they will ever be, are Pat Freiermuth and Dallas Goedert, two guys that we've talked about in the past. Do you see value in either of these guys in buying low at the moment?
I mean, it depends on what's considered buying low, right? I think both of these guys still hold enough name value that they're being valued as, you know, fairly early to mid second round rookie picks.
Now they're all the way down at the startup pick in the 12th round. That's where these guys have fallen to. And that's where I'm like, I when I'm doing startups, that's the biggest thing I start to look at, is the trends of guys that have panned off, that have good profiles, you know, that have high draft capital and can perform. Both of these guys are going, you know, after Luke Musgrave, Isaiah Likely, and into that 12th round.
Oh, wow. After Musgrave and Likely?
Yes.
So Freiermuth, I see him as just the possession guy. I think he's good for what he is, a safety blanket for whoever is starting in Pittsburgh next year. I would rather buy low on Goddard, because it's hard to see a path to him finishing as a strong tight end one in fantasy without an injury to A.J. Brown or Devontae Smith, just because of the nature of how that Eagles offense is. But if I did have to place a bet on who actually has potential upside, if they were to get that sort of opportunity, it would be Goddard, based on some of the flashes that we've seen from him with some of his ability with the yards after the catch.
I like that. Going even like deeper here, David, there's some tight ends where we get really late. I mean, we're talking 200 plus guys that I know I've seen you
in
tweet
the trenches.
About. That I've tweeted about, the Greg Dulcich, the Noah Fants, the Darren Wallers. I mean, are they done? I think Dulcich had a fantastic rookie season and just seems to be forgotten about. Noah Fant, elite level, you know, college production and profile, but again, just kind of falling by the wayside. And Darren Waller, I mean, maybe it's time to put him off to green pastures, but like, I just can't quit Darren Waller. He was the first tight end where I was like, you know what? I'm going all in. I'm going to pick him up everywhere for third round rookie picks, you know, before he popped off, and I have him like all my teams. So talk to me about those three guys. If you see any value of those guys, once you get late, you know, it is a lottery ticket, but is there one that you prefer out of those? And do you like any of those?
Well, you could probably get Waller for a third round rookie pick again.
Yeah, I know.
The cycle is complete.
It's the circle of life. You know, he's going into the compost now.
Yeah. I mean, I like all of those guys, man. Like, you say, are they dead? Is Greg Dulcich dead at 23 years old after being injured for a year? I mean, come on, give me a break. Especially,
hey, he's going tight end 25 though, in at 215.
He's going in the free bin, is where he's going. That's where I like him, because I keep grabbing him there. I'll tell you what, man. Like, Greg Dulcich, was not just a flash in the pan as a rookie either. He has a good profile. There's zero red in this profile. Third round pick, that's good. 4.6, 940, that's good. 34-inch vertical, that's good. 27% college dominator, that's good. 17.6 yards per reception. This guy averaged 2.04 yards per route run in college. Very efficient player. 83.7 PFF receiving grade in his best season. Box checked, everything we liked. The only thing we don't like is what? That he had a little bit of a struggle with Adam Troutman for, what, two games where he barely played it with a new coach? I mean, we see these players go through growing pains at the tight end position all the time. I mean, I'm not just writing off Greg Dulcich because of two games in 2023 when I have all this other data that says he's really good. So I
like that.
Darren Waller, I mean, come on, he's free. What do you pay? You could maybe get him for a fourth round pick at this point. Like, he was still pretty decent last year. He wasn't amazing. He certainly didn't live up to the hype in the draft capital he paid last year. But that's pushing him down even farther this year. No offense, I mean, I'll pound that drum all day long. We're talking about former first round pick, early declare, elite athlete, 4.5, 40, 39.5-inch vertical, productive in college, 27% dominator rating. He was good in his second. He led Denver in receptions in his second NFL season. And then he fell off in his mid-20s. Now he's a free agent in his late 20s. It sounds a lot like Evan Ingram to me.
I like it. Now, this year's class, I mean, we have Bowers where he is. I think I like Jatavion Sanders. But then we get into the Yaheem Bells, the Ben Sano, you know, it's not deep, but is there a guy that we're looking at where, you know what, like, we weren't really talking about Sam Laporta real early in the process either. You know, we were like having him in that. Is there anybody in this year's class who's a sleeper that's going to rise? And is there anybody deep that it's like, you know what, if I can get this guy in my third or fourth round, I think he's going to be someone that I feel really good about having on my roster.
I'll tell you what, I've charted 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. 12 rookie tight ends I've charted in my process so far. I'm still waiting on dominator ratings because I get those from Player Profiler. So I'm still waiting on some of those for some of these guys. But tell you what, in the last two, I charted Trey Knox and McCallum Castles, who I thought was like a fake guy, like a Hangle McCrangleberry. Like, I thought you were playing a joke on me. McCallum Castles, but he's a real dude, apparently. I charted him as well because you had him in the show sheet notes. Tell you what, I'll be honest. I don't see a single one of these guys who I like except outside of my top three tight ends. And I'll tell you who's my number three, because that's really – everybody knows about Brock Bowers. Jatavion Sanders, I like a lot. We talk about, especially when we talk about going back before college, even talk about the whole profile, want to be holistic. You go back to recruiting grades. This guy, Jatavion Sanders, was a 5-star recruit with a 98 prospect grade from 24/7 Sports. That is fantastic. All right. He's going to be drafted in, looks like, at least the second round, possibly late first. He's going to run probably a sub 4.6 40. He's an early declare, so he went pro after 3 years. He had an 18.8% dominator rating. What was the deadline? I like to say that I like to see them above 18%. There he is. 13.1 yards per reception. That's solid. And then we talk about 1.8 yards per run. That's green. His highest PFF receiving grade is 78.9. I would like it above 80, but he was super close in 2 years as a sophomore and junior, and he probably would have went above it if he went back for his fourth year like a lot of these other tight ends did. But he said, I'm going to go pro instead. So Jamin Sanders, love him as well. My tight end three is Jaheim Bell, who I think he's just not getting anywhere near enough hype. Nobody's talking about Jaheim Bell. Nobody's even mentioning this guy. And I know as soon as we start to mention him, I mentioned him a couple times, he's going to get knocked for being 6'1" 7/8", because everybody wants to just act like, all right, a short tight end can't exist, right? We look at some of these narratives, right? They're almost taken as fact until they're proven as fiction. Like, right, last year was rookie tight ends can't succeed. You don't draft a rookie tight end. Oh, well, all of a sudden Sam Laporta says, all right, that's a bunch of BS. Rookie tight ends can succeed. And it's almost the same thing for short tight ends. Everybody says, oh, Delanie Walker is the only short tight end. Well, you go back, you find Aaron Hernandez, you find Shannon Sharp, you know, you find other examples of guys who are 6'2" or shorter, and it's like, all right, maybe these guys can succeed. And when I look at Jaheim Bell, I mean, hello, this guy averaged 2.3 yards per route run in his career, posting 88.8 PFF receiving grade. He's probably going to run sub 4.6. I am so excited about this guy's profile, knowing I'm going to be able to get him in the fourth round in some places because three or four other people in the league just say, oh, guys under 6'2", tight ends can't succeed, especially because talk about Chigo Conquo last year. He's like, oh, can short tight ends do good? Chigo Conquo failed. They reinforce it. Now it's fact. You can't dare say that a short tight end will be good. Don't you remember Chigo Conquo? So it's like, Jaheim Bell, I'm going to have a ton of shares because I can draft him for cheap. He was super productive on his routes. He was highly graded. He's a good athlete. 15% dominator rating. That's the only thing I can nitpick. Like, he's probably more of a number three guy, but at the price of like free. Like, I like a guy who's probably a number three with like a high weekly ceiling. Like, he can just have a big game. I think he's probably good. I think Jaheim Bell is good, and that apparently is like some sort of a hot take to say.
David, I love it because it among, you know, you and Snoog and John have all given me a hard time of David's passion for tight ends is when I start talking rebuilds, you know, and I start talking about the trade, the making things go and get all animated. I love how enthusiastic you are about tight ends. This has been an absolute banger show. You know, I love how you went over the profiles. You didn't just say, I like player X, I like player Y, but you said exactly why. So, I mean, that was fantastic, man. Why don't you tell everybody where they can find you again? Then I'll kick it over to Mung and we'll close it up. So thanks, David.
Yeah, first Twitter, you can follow me there. That's where I'm posting all my BS on a daily, you know, at Guru Fantasy World, WRLD. And if you want to go to the website, it's gurufantasyworld.com. There is an O, though, in that one. So you want to put the O in there.
Love it. Mung, I'm glad you came on. We talked tight ends. You went to the dentist. That's a win for me. That's about as good as it gets. So tell everybody what you're working on, where they can find your work as well.
Yeah, I mean, you guys know you can find me on Twitter or X at FFA_Mung. That's M-E-N-G. I just came out with an article on running backs to buy in Dynasty. And I'll leave you guys with one final note. I want to get David's quick 10-second, one-sentence take on taking a late-round shot on Davis Allen. Any thoughts on him?
Bad profile, good situation. He could be the next Jake Ferguson at best, but why not?
I like it.
I love it. Thanks again for tuning in, guys, and enjoy the process. Woo, that was fun. It was good.